Our next public hearing is subdivision 2006-75, Toll Group LLC.
This is an application to consider the subdivision of land in an Arrowin Agriculture Residential District and the GR General Residential District in Northwest Fork Hundred, Sussex County, by dividing 139.98 acres into 222 lots, located southeast of Route 590, 2,300 feet northwest of Route 583. This application was also reviewed by the Technical Advisory Committee, and I would ask Mr. Abbott if he has any additional comments from agencies.
Mr. Chairman, the tax review of June 20th of 2007 will be made a part of the record. October 12th of 2007, received a letter from Mr. Robertson. He's reviewed the restrictive covenants, found them to be acceptable. On July 10th of this year, the applicant's representative submitted an exhibit booklet and a revised preliminary plan. Each of you has received a copy of that. And today we received two letters. The first one's from the Office of State Planning Coordination. It's addressed to Mr. Lank. When this project was originally seen through the PLUS process, it was located within a level four area according to the strategies for state policies and spending and outside any local growth zones. Since that time, it has been added to the future land use map of Greenwood Certified Plan as a potential future annexation area. According to the response letter from Mr. Davidson, the developer and owners have been in contact with the town of Greenwood to discuss annexation into the town once it becomes contiguous and any other issues that they might have. The state urges the county to coordinate with the town regarding site plan approval in case this property is annexed into the town at a later date. In addition, the developer has worked to address many of our comments, particularly our comments concerning open space and buffers. The state also appreciates that the developer is planning to maintain the wooded areas of the site. In conclusion, the state is withdrawing its objection to this proposal based on the location, because the parcel is now part of the future growth according to the town of Greenwood comprehensive plans. That was signed, sincerely, Constance Holland. That'll be made a part of the record. And this afternoon, we received a letter from the Woodbridge School District. It's addressed to the commissioners. The district has received a preliminary schematic of the proposed housing development, which is located within the Woodbridge School District. Upon review, the district is supportive of the development concept. However, we would ask for final review input regarding school transportation access to the development. The potential impact of 100 children over the build-out period can be absorbed within our school system. Our school district is growing, and the need for increased housing options within our Woodbridge community is essential for our continued growth. If you have any questions, please do not hesitate to contact me. That was signed by Kevin Carson, superintendent. That's all I have, unless you have any questions.
All right, sir, we thank you. And the chair recognizes Mr. Davidson.
Good evening. For the record, my name is Mark Davidson with Design Consultants Group in Milton, Delaware. With me tonight are the applicants, Mr. Rick and Jeff Toll of the Toll Group LLC of Seaford, Delaware. As was previously stated, a booklet was handed out, and inside the booklet, there's a color rendering and table of contents for the booklet, a vicinity map, site data table, my qualifications, my company's qualifications, and then there's a project team list. The remaining of the booklet has the application, also has the section from the subdivision ordinance 99-9C, which I will go through, has smaller copies of the subdivision plan, as well as the covenants, restrictions, the application, and the response letters from the state planning office. There is a soils report. There's some aerial maps, some porting data maps that we've used in order to work on this application. And the wetlands delineation is in there as well. The property is located on Mile Stretch Road, which is County Road 590. It is located within the northwest 400 of Sussex County. As shown on the vicinity map here that I have, a colored vicinity map, we are southwest of the town of Greenwood. The property is approximately 1/2 mile south of Delaware Route 36, and it's approximately 1 mile west of U.S. Route 13. The property is identified as tax map 5-30-13, parcel 10, with an acreage of 139.98 acres. The property is dual zoned. 130.14 acres is zoned GR. It's indicated on the color rendering, on the color map here in yellow, that this is the area of GR within the subdivision. The remaining nine acres, 9.84 acres, is zoned AR1, which is agricultural residential. The actual zoning line follows along the Grubby Neck Branch tax ditch. During the time that our application, the AR portion of the land was in a level 3. The GR portion of it was in a level 4, according to the strategies for state policies and spending. And as was read into the record by Mr. Abbott, the State Planning Office has sent a letter not only supporting the project, but basically stating that the property has been added to the future land use map of the town of Greenwood certified plan as a potential future annexation area. Our proposal this evening for Sunset Woods is for a 222 single-family lot subdivision that's located entirely on the GR portion of the property here. The gross density of the site is 1.58 acres, and that's including all of the lands. If you take out the AR1 portion of the lands, which is on the north side of the Grubby Neck tax ditch, the density would become 1.71 lots per acre. The allowable density within a GR is just over 4 lots per acre. We are significantly under the what's allowed in a GR zoned area. The average lot size is 10,478 square feet. The minimum lot size being in a GR is 10,000 square feet with central water and central sewer. Open space that has been calculated for this project is approximately 57% with the wastewater area included. If you remove the wastewater area of approximately 10 acres, the open space is at 50%. Which is approximately 69.61 acres of land that's going to be left open. The wetlands calculate out to be 16.5 acres, and the existing woods on site is 37.28 acres. The wetlands on site, in the back of your booklet, there is a wetlands delineation. The wetlands on the site are primarily in the woods. All the a majority of the wooded section, 16 acres out of the 38 acres of woods that's on the site, is wetlands. The ditches that are located on this site, we have two tax ditches that run on the what we'll call the north and south boundary lines of the property, or the east and west, I should say. North being Grubby Neck Branch tax ditch, and then there's a tax ditch running down the west side and the east side of the properties. The remaining ditches within the site, only the ditch towards the east side of the property that's inside the property is going to has jurisdictional wetlands within the ditch. The other two areas, the two ditches that are on the site here, only a small portion of the ditches have any type of jurisdictional wetlands within them. The remaining ditches are non-jurisdictional. A wetlands delineation has been submitted to the state and to the U.S. Army Corps of Engineers. Uh, Under the Chapter 99-9C, the integration of this proposed subdivision into the existing terrain and surrounding landscape, we've taken careful attention to place this subdivision the way we have. We've added buffers down the east and west property lines. We've got 30-foot buffers on either side of the property lines. The lots out front have been removed away from the road. They begin approximately 200 to 250 feet back off of Mile Stretch Road along the front. I would like to add that the individual lots along the front, my clients, they developed those lots there, and they built on several, all the lots, lots 1 through 6 here, lot 5 being vacant. Lot 6 was built by another builder, but they're lots 1 through 4, my clients built the houses, and I have sold those since. Lot 7 and 8, which is to the west of the entrance, are still vacant and are still for sale. Minimum use of the wetlands and floodplains. We are in a Zone X, which is an area outside of the 500-year floodplain. We're not, like I said, most of the wetlands are in the woods. We are leaving primarily about 99% of the woods intact. We've looked at this. We've tried to pull everything out of the wooded areas, so the remaining, the 38 acres will remain intact, so no disturbance to the wetlands. The preservation of natural and historical features. During the PLUS process, it was brought up that according to the Beers Atlas of 1868, a dwelling that was identified as the W.O. Redden appeared on the map. According to that map, that house appeared in this location within the agricultural area here, where it's being, where it's a cornfield right now. There's no identification of the house remaining on that site. The preservation of open space and scenic views. Again, what we're proposing here is we're proposing approximately 50% of the site to remain as open space. Again, all these lots have been laid out that would be facing open space, so that everybody will have the opportunity to be able to have their house backed up against these open space areas. The scenic views that we're proposing to protect here, if you go back and look at Grubby Neck Branch, we are, again, within the wooded areas of this site, there's really, there's no disturbance in that area, so the wooded areas will be able to remain for the community to enjoy. Some of the other aspects of what we're providing sidewalks on one side of the sidewalks throughout the site. We're also proposing walking paths throughout the woods, throughout the open space, and which walking, jogging, and biking is the number one recreation in the state of Delaware. The minimization of trees, vegetation, and soil removal. Again, the forests are going to remain intact for the most part. We are proposing street trees along the streets. We've provided some planted buffer along the east side of the property line. There are going to be the remaining areas that are open are going to be landscaped and maintained as open areas. The screening of objectionable features from the neighboring properties. Inside the booklet is a soils report and the feasibility study that was performed on site. The wastewater area and the wastewater facility proposed by Tidewater Utilities, who's going to looking at maintaining this operation, is located within the middle of the site. So we pulled the area away from any neighboring property lines. So it's going to be a spray irrigation facility proposed, and meadow grasses will be planted out there. So there will be some recreational benefit for wildlife to be able to come in and be able to use the site, because it will be a spray irrigation facility, and and the types of grasses and plants that will be utilized to be able to help with the facility itself. I would like to add that within this site, the Tolls have talked with the town of Greenwood, and there's in the beginning, back when we were planning this subdivision, we had discussions with the town of Greenwood about possibly sharing in the wastewater facility out here. Town of Greenwood at this time and was limited on their wastewater capabilities. The Toll family has been talking with them, and there's a possibility that there could be a shared wastewater use out here, or that when this property becomes contiguous to the town, which we are one property away from being contiguous with the town of Greenwood, that once we become contiguous, we could possibly annex into the town and help the town out with, for them to be able to provide a future wastewater facility for their own selves. So basically, this subdivision would help in their cause in being able to afford wastewater for their future growth. The provisions for water supply, again, we've signed up with Tidewater Utilities at this time until a possible annexation could happen with the town of Greenwood, or again, we have to be contiguous, but we have signed up with Tidewater Utility to be able to provide for water supply as well as wastewater. The prevention of pollution of surface and groundwater. In your booklet under the soils in the last section, we provided a nutrient loading assessment for this site. Although it's voluntary, we wanted to, there were comments made in the PLUS review about the effects on the Nanticoke watershed. If the results of the of our study that what we were reducing the nitrogen and we were matching the phosphorus for this site for all the BMPs that we're going to be proposing for this project. As far as groundwater recharge goes and stormwater management, what we are proposing is we're proposing dry basins out here. We're not proposing any wet ponds at this time. We've taken a look at what we can do as far as being able to help recharge the groundwater out here, being able to slow down the pre-development rate prior to discharging to Grubby Neck Branch. With that, we have two existing swales or ditches out on site that are vegetated at this time that are non-jurisdictional. They are basically just mapped as farm ditches, and which means we can utilize those for our stormwater as well as providing some stormwater capabilities on the site. Coming in the entrance, we've proposed a couple of rain gardens in the beginning here. These will be planted areas, and it will also help slow down some of the stormwater. Again, we have a number of discharge points to be able to discharge stormwater off-site, but what we feel is by providing some of these dry basins, you can plant them with grasses. There's some sedge brook bushes that you can plant with these things. They'll help uptake the water. They'll also help with nutrient and phosphorus uptakes. The utilization of the existing swales, which we've done on some previous projects where we've been able to, at the end, prior to it discharging into either the wetlands or into a branch, we put in simply, we can either put in an earthen berm or we put in some type of a level spreader, help slow the water down, help with capacity, and possibly help recharge the groundwater, and it also slows down the pre-development rate at which the stormwater will discharge from the site. Number 11, which is the provision for safe vehicular and pedestrian movement within the site, we are proposing sidewalks on one side of the road. We do have a 15-foot multimodal path, which is required by Delta, that we will be providing along the frontage of our property. We have two sidewalks, one on either side coming in the entrance road that will come to the community area here. We are proposing a clubhouse and a swimming pool within the centrally located within the site. And then there will be sidewalks on one side of the road throughout the entire subdivision. On the site plans, there should be the sidewalks are shown along with all the crosswalks at all the intersections. Now, the effects on area property values, the covenants restrictions submitted as part of this application enforces the goal of this subdivision to maintain the natural condition that will result in a strong sense of community identity. The housing that will be permitted in this development will enhance and complement the natural setting of the community and will increase the value over time and will promote an unmatched style of living. The Toll family, again, they've developed some lots out front. They've built on four of those lots. They've stick-built houses. They're looking to provide a nice, affordable lot, and in the covenants restrictions, they talk about possibly just being able to doing stick-built houses or some type of a modular from like a Barracka home type house. So the covenants restrictions are going to help enhance this area with the types of housings that will be permitted for this site. The preservation and conservation of farmland. Sunset Woods is in a residential community of single-family homes, and it's in a rural setting. It is the stated goal of the Toll family to maintain this natural condition and to build on the remaining site in a way that results in a cohesive character with a strong sense of community identity. The effects on schools and public buildings, as was read in the record, a letter was submitted from the school superintendent of the Woodbridge School District. We are providing for a school bus stop. It is shown on the site plan. We do have it here at the entrance of the road. So a bus stop will be provided for this development. The effects on area roadways and public transportation. As a part of this application, we did have to do a traffic impact study. The results of that are in the booklet. As part of the traffic impact study, some things had to be, some improvements had to be done. A full entrance will be done, and dedicated left turn lane into the site, as well as a deceleration lane. As part of the traffic impact study, the Toll family will have to improve the subdivision from their southernmost property corner all the way to Delaware Route 36 under local road standards, which means they have to widen the lanes to 11-foot wide lanes. They have to provide for 5-foot shoulders and then do a possibly a 2-inch asphalt overlay over the entire entire roadway from their southern property line all the way to Delaware Route 36, which is about a half mile long. Bicycle paths within the frontage of the property, a bicycle lane, and that's as part of the entrance application. We'll have to provide a bicycle lane in front of the property, and that is in lieu of doing the 10-foot multimodal path that is also required along the front of the properties. The compatibility with the other area land uses. Again, this isn't an area. This is zone GR. This is in an area that is primarily residential. It's all single family. This is what we're proposing. And the effect on area waterways. Again, I had talked about the type of stormwater management that we're proposing here. What we're looking at doing is the type of best management practices that we are proposing for the subdivision are green areas. We're not looking to sit and dig any type of wet ponds. We want to slow down the water, and the best way to slow this water down is to do some dry ponds with a lot of plantings, a lot of grasses. This will help with the discharge prior to entering the Grubby Neck Branch tax ditch system. Some findings of facts that I've submitted in the booklet. This is an application for residential subdivision located in a GR district for 222 single-family lots. The subject property is located in the Northwest Fork 100 on the east side of Sussex County Route 590, a mile stretch road, approximately one-half mile south of Delaware Route 36. The property is owned currently by the Toll Group LLC. At present, the land is dual-zoned as AR1 Level 3 and GR Level 4, with this application lying within the GR Zone District. In the 2002 Sussex County Comprehensive Plan, the area for the proposed subdivision is identified for the purpose of future land use as low-density area. This project at 1.7 units per acre meets the requirements of low-density. The proposed subdivision will be served with a central water distribution system provided by Tidewater Utilities, and further discussions with the Town of Greenwood for joint use will pursue during the design. The proposed subdivision will be served with a community on-site wastewater disposal and treatment system provided by Tidewater Utilities. And again, they will pursue the further discussions with the Town of Greenwood for a joint use of it. The proposed application meets the purpose of the subdivision and zoning ordinance in that it promotes the orderly growth, convenience, order, and prosperity and welfare of the county. One thing I didn't mention, that street lights will be provided along all streets, and it will be provided by Delaware Electric Co-op. All entrance and road improvements will be constructed in accordance with the applicable Delaware Department of Transportation requirements. Sediment and stormwater management shall be constructed in accordance with all applicable state and county requirements. And the Sussex subdivision streets will be constructed in accordance with applicable Sussex County standards. Talking about the street layout, what we've done is, in the beginning, we talked with the Town of Greenwood and had stated with them that if and when this property ever becomes contiguous, and if it does become annexed in, that we would try to commingle the county's requirements for roads as well as with the Town of Greenwood. That way, if this subdivision ever became annexed in, that Town of Greenwood wouldn't have to do much change to the street system in order to take over the streets. What I've come up with is a part of what we're going to be submitting as a part of our application when we come in to do final design, if this application is approved, is we're looking at redesigning or re-looking at a couple of the streets here. The streets would be Natalie Lane and Courtney Avenue. What I've done is I've taken the new standards that are being developed out of the Sussex County Engineering Department right now for streets, and I provided a couple of turnarounds here for Courtney Avenue and Natalie Lane. That way, it won't be such a dead-end street at this time. What our idea was in the beginning was, working with the Town of Greenwood, was if this ever became annexed into the town, that these streets could be extended as part of a grid system, a block system that the town likes to see. So that was the idea of our design, but going forward, and until we can become contiguous again and being able to be annexed in, what we'll do is we'll provide a street turnaround. The way we've done this is we provide the legal turnaround. This turnaround also meets the Town of Greenwood's minimum turnaround. It also meets fire marshal regulations. And this is part of the new Sussex County Engineering Department street standards that they're proposing at this time. Again, we've just flipped a couple of the lots around, and I believe it was 158 and 159 and 164 and 165. Still able to maintain 157 and 166 with still open space behind the lot, so that these lots do not butt up against the back of each other. There's about 20 feet of open space that will be between all lot lines. With that said, it is the desires of the Toll family to provide an affordable lot subdivision that will be in keeping with what they have built and sold along the front of the of their property, and ask that you approve Sunset Wood as presented.
All right, sir. We thank you. We'll see if anyone has any questions for you. Mr. Gordy. Mr. Davis, it's a job well done covering things. You covered quite a bit. I had a few questions, but you've answered most of them. What kind of price range are you looking for as these houses? Have you determined that yet?
Well, right now, again, what they're looking to do is probably sell affordable lots. Somewhere probably the $50,000 to $60,000 range for the single family. No, but given the time and when this subdivision and the market, of course, the amount of infrastructure that we're doing, what we're trying to do is we're providing a value engineering, and that's what I'm, by utilizing the existing ditches out there for some of the stormwater management, we can cut back on the stormwater costs. We can cut back by putting in dry basins. We can cut back on the use of possibly having to line a wet pond. So we're trying to keep the lot costs down so that the Toll family can provide for a more affordable lot. So somewhere a lot price of around 50 to 60 after all infrastructure costs and everything else, that's
a goal.
Yes.
Okay. And your bus stop, you're showing your bus stop. Is there sufficient room to put parking spaces there?
During the design, like we've done on other application, we will provide parking spaces out front for the bus stop.
And I noticed on your drawing, it looks like almost all your lots butt up to open space, except for a few along the road here. Is that correct? Or
right. I do have a few of these lots along the front here, 6 through 16, and lots 191 through 194 do butt up against the other lots there, but these houses that have been built along the road frontage here are all up along the county road here, so we feel that there's sufficient room there for buffering. And, you know, some additional landscaping and things like that will also help shield these lots.
Well, it looks like there's only 8 lots that don't butt up to open space.
Yes, yeah, those ones that are facing, you're right. That,
yeah.
And so I failed to mention that. There are 8 lots that.
That's all?
Yes.
Out of all that, okay. And you said that all the lots will be in the GR.
That is correct. The AR1 portion of the property is on the north side of Grubby Neck Branch Ditch, and quite frankly, that whole stretch of ground is that one.
And you're proposing walkways through that area?
Yes.
Okay. And your open space here with the lots, are they existing woods, or you'd be planting trees there?
Well, you're showing
green behind the lots.
About 30, right. Oh, the green behind?
Well, your open space there, you're showing,
These are existing wooded. These are the existing wooded ditches that are on site right
okay.
now. And we're going to leave those intact. Again, plus that's what's going to help with our stormwater calculations and being able to slow down the stormwater for the site.
And these comments in the book now are prior to the state changing their mind?
Yes.
Okay. That's all the questions I have right now, Mr. Wheeler.
All right, sir. We thank you. Mr. Smith?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And Mr. Davidson, I'm glad you provided this because I had a question about some of the lots around this alternative street layout, and I wanted to ask you when I look at the color rendering in the exhibit book, I look at lots 154, 159, 164, and 169, and it appears as though the permissible building envelope of those lots could impact the sight lines of the other lots on that street, that being, what is that, Sarah or Scott Street? What I'm trying to say is if I owned lot number 160, seemed like a part of the view from my front yard would be the rear of the house on 159. Is that a possibility
right.
under that layout?
Yes, and what we've done, again, you would have views of the backs of the houses. Not unlike, you know, in some of the other areas within the subdivision,
there's not some heavy existing vegetation there. Some of these other lots would have views of the backs, but I am providing, you know, 20-foot, maybe a little bit more than that, 20-foot open spaces that separate these lots apart from each other, so.
But it just, those lots kind of stuck out at me because it looks like you've got a pretty good symmetry and.
Right, well, again, with the alternative, what we have labeled here is the alternative dead-end street layout. Basically, with the turnarounds now, I've been able to turn four of those six lots that you were talking about, or at least those four lots that will be affected by those views to the backs of those houses. They will be turned around now, and so that will be taken care of.
So this is an alternative predicated on if you get the other.
That will be what we will design during the engineering part of our streets. We will design turnarounds at the dead ends so that the roads just don't stop where we have a dead-end street. Although less than 300 feet, we don't have, based on fire marshal regulations, you can go 300 feet without providing a turnaround. But what we felt was is having a turnaround is a safer alternative and a safer design as to what we've laid out here. And again, that layout was in coordination with when we were talking with the town of Greenwood in the beginning of our application, back when we first submitted.
Okay. Was there any mention of stub streets to serve the adjacent parcels?
What we possible? Have, yeah, what we have, we do have stub streets down here. We feel that right now, providing the stub streets in the beginning of the subdivision will, you know, if there is cross access ability, it will protect the remaining portion of this subdivision. The stub streets here, again, we can't provide stub streets across here. We'd be crossing a lot of wetlands to be able to get to that. But streets certainly to the east and west of the site are provided for the adjoining neighbors.
Is that something that needs to be noticed to prospective buyers that these streets may be future connectors?
Well, what we do is we extend the right of way to the end of the property lines. I don't know of a project other than some of the conditions that you place when we do a cluster subdivision and when comments come out of DelDOT or comes out of the county about providing stub streets, we note that on a plan that it's a stub street. Or quite frankly, I don't even know if we've noted it. It's just, it's in the conditions and we provide the geometry on the plan. We show the actual existing right-of-way stopping right at the boundary line, which is how we've shown these two areas here. Okay. So again, there hasn't been a precedent set under the when we go through the engineering to provide any type of language, but that could certainly be done in this case.
How are you making out with the tax ditch easements?
We're getting them reduced down to 25 feet.
And speaking of noticing, are there hunting activities, what you would consider hunting activities nearby to this site?
I would think, I guess there could be, north. I would say there's an open track here. It's mostly farm field. Looks like maybe a little small portion of woods that are on that site. There could be more than that. My aerial doesn't go that far out, but there could be some hunting there. It could be some hunting, again, on the other side of Grubby Neck Branch Ditch. There's an open field with some sizable wooded areas, and then there's this open field here, which there could be some hunting activity. Again, we've pulled these lots away from the woods. We've got them out of the woods here. We've got we have some buffers, again, not the if there are hunting activities out there.
Thank you. I'd like to ask you, for benefit of myself and perhaps the other commissioners, the public as well, an explanation of the concept of a rain garden, or what the concept or what features and functions it performs. What's it look like when you see it?
Well, the rain garden, it's shallow. It's not a very deep pond. They tend to be anywhere from 18 to 24 inches in depth. They have very shallow banks, sometimes in the vicinity of like 5-to-1, 6-to-1 slopes. The types of plantings can vary. There's a whole array of list of types of plants that you can put in there, from tree, there's a just number of trees, types of bushes. A lot of times, meadow grasses of something like a crown vetch or some type of heavy grass that lays down. You don't have to maintain it. It actually takes care of itself. State Highway uses up and down the overpasses all the time. That's the type of grass you see. So the rain garden, what it's going to do is it's going to slow down the water. Sometimes in a rain garden, what we can provide is if we have a long run to get to a discharge point, you put an inlet in the middle of it and you plant around it. The inlet will stick up about anywhere from 8 to 12 inches high, allow the water to fill up. What you do is you allow for groundwater recharge. You allow for the plants to uptake any of the nutrients that are coming off the streets, any of the nitrogens, any of the phosphoruses that are caused by the streets or the surrounding areas. The types of plants that you put in these rain gardens will help clean the water up prior to it exiting the site.
So you're saying there's a wide variety. Does it have a manicured look, or is it more of a wildflower-type meadow?
It's more, depending on what you plant. I mean, you hope to plant the type of vegetation that you don't have to maintain. And those are the types of meadow grasses and the crown vetches and things of that nature. That way you don't have to maintain them. It also keeps the cost down if the homeowner association doesn't have to maintain them.
Has there been a budget that compiled, a guesstimate budget to let the future homeowners know what their budget may be for maintaining the open spaces?
Not at this time, there hasn't.
And there again, for the benefit of myself and maybe some members of the public, the spray irrigation that you described in the meadow grass area, what does that look like? And are there noises, odors, contamination associated with any of that?
No, typically no contaminate. What comes out of the wastewater treatment plant is quote unquote drinking water standards. Not that I don't think anybody would want to bring a glass with them, but. The sprayers, the spray irrigation can be anything from pop-up sprayers. You can actually put the spray nozzles underground. They'll pop up just like you see in an irrigation within any type of landscape area within a subdivision. You'll see that they can be pop-up or they can be sat on a pedestal and spray. As far as odors are concerned, there's... Again, what comes out of them is clean water. They have to meet the levels of the state of Delaware. They meet drinking water standards. Can't say that there would never be an odor. I don't, just can't guarantee that. But most spray facilities that I've worked on and been around, very little odor, if any at all.
And is there an alternate spot for the one stormwater management pond that's up close to Route 590? There by lots 187th and 190.
The pond is approximately 100 to 150 feet off the road.
Okay.
Again, it's going to be a dry basin. It's going to be planted. So we don't feel that it's going to be an eye nuisance to any of the area neighbors, as well as any passerbys coming down the road there.
That's all, Mr. Chairman.
All right, sir. Burton.
Just a couple. The you've submitted for a jurisdictional wetlands determination?
Yes, we have.
Have you heard back from them?
No, we haven't.
How long has it been submitted?
I would say, let's see, well, since the beginning of this, our application, what, 16 months, 14 months, something like that?
Yeah. Just a question.
Yeah.
The are there any maintenance buildings with that treatment plant or treatment area? Is there any outbuildings?
Yeah, there'll be a treatment plant, and there will be a treatment facility. Most a typical treatment facility for this type of application will hopefully we'll have some storage within it. We'll have some storage capabilities within it. So at this time, we're in the preliminary stage, so I don't know if there will be a separate maintenance building, but there will be a building for the
it'll be inside that
the facility. Yes, the treatment end of it will
be inside that open area there.
I'm sorry, yes, it'll be within this area right here.
How would you access that? Just through the
Brandon Boulevard going all the way around.
Okay,
so there will be probably wherever the treatment plant will be placed, it'll be placed somewhere centralized within the site, away from all the single-family lots.
Would it be deep inside the?
I don't think it'll be deep inside, but it'll be far enough off the road and be screened so that I can't say it won't be visible, but it will. Hopefully, the building will look in kind to the neighborhood.
How big a building do you think that'll be?
It could vary. What we're being told by both Tidewater Utilities and Artesian is that they can put the water and the wastewater in the same building. They split it with a firewall down the middle. They have they'll have the wastewater treatment plant on one side, they'll have the water plant on the other. It's being approved all the time right now. So the building could be 30 by 30. Sometimes it can be as big as I would venture to say that one on Route 9 down there outside of Five Points is probably 34 feet wide by maybe 60 feet long, and that's a wastewater treatment plant.
What kind of timeline do you think you'd be on the clubhouse and all the amenities?
Certainly not. To build a clubhouse and a pool and to be able to still provide for an affordable house here, I would say that, you know, some houses would probably have to be, some lots would have to be sold first. I'm not quite sure what that percentage is. Again, not knowing until we get them to final approval on this subdivision, don't know what the market's going to be, so we really don't know where the lot prices are going. So typically what I recommend to my client is to build something right away to get that curb appeal that'll help with the sale of the lot. So it could quite possibly be right away, or they would wait to sell some of the lots first and then come and build the clubhouse and the pool. So it just all depends. I would venture to say that before, boy, I hate to go on the record with anything, but anywhere from 30% to 50% of the houses before, or the lots that were sold, they would probably start to build the clubhouse.
No further questions,
Mr. Lang.
Going back to the treatment building, and you made reference to try to maintain the character of the dwelling. So I'm assuming that the developers, architectural review committee, the homeowner association, whichever, and maybe at the time it's built, would have jurisdiction and control over what it appears.
That is correct. Yes.
So it would appear to be a residential structure or an agriculture-looking structure. I'm just asking that question.
Yeah, that would be correct. They would have Toll family or the homeowner association would definitely have control over what that building would look like. And Tidewater has been flexible in the past on other projects I've worked with them, that they don't have a problem with having the building look in kind to what the neighborhood's going to look like.
Yeah, and projects we've seen over the last couple of years, the it seemed like the water treatment building, if they're separate, appear to be a small dwelling. The sewage treatment facility building seemed to be a more of an agriculture or barn type appearance, so it blends in with the community and with the area.
Depending on the
depending
on the type of application that they are, sometimes those facilities have to be rather large. So probably on a wastewater facility of a certain size, you have to be able to have the wastewater treatment plant inside, and you got to be able to span it. So probably an agricultural look building is what.
I was thinking more in the line of the building, which you mentioned all right now, which I think you were talking about the reserves at Lewis Landing.
Yes. I was trying to reference the size of a building.
Yeah, right.
Yes.
That's all I have.
Okay, Mr. Katz.
Just one question. You've made several references to potential annexation. Will there be an annexation agreement with the town?
Again,
being negotiated?
The tolls have been meeting with the town of Greenwood. Right now, there's no promise. I believe they are working, the town is working on this piece of property here as part of an annexation. Once that, we are contiguous at that point. But again, there's wastewater issues that are involved, and that's going to all be worked out during our design period.
I guess where I'm going with that is assuming it's approved and you start development and sell a couple of the lots, how do you deal with the annexation after that point if there's no annexation agreement?
We've talked about that, and it'll probably be noticed on the final subdivision plan or possibly in the covenants restrictions that a potential annexation will occur or would occur. I would have to defer to Mr. Robertson, but I'm not quite sure how you would form that language in covenants restrictions or for the sale of a lot, but I'm sure it's been done in the past, so something like that would happen.
It can be dealt with, but
that's correct.
It needs to be dealt with straight up front as part of the
that's
initial.
That's correct, yes.
Okay, that's all. Okay.
Mr. Abbott?
No questions.
Council?
No questions. I would agree with Mr. Davidson that can be worked out where the folks that would buy a lot would be on notice and would implicitly consent to the annexation. But I also agree with Mr. Counts, it's a whole lot easier and a whole lot less heartburn to do it before anybody sells any lots, because there's additional fees, et cetera, if you're part of the town.
Correct.
That's all. Thanks.
All right, sir. Well, thank you.
I've got one.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. I've been out there and I've forgotten, but your entrance, is there any existing houses now across from your entrance?
Yes.
Chris, is there going to be a problem with headlights or anything?
It appears that certainly look on the aerial. When I was out there looking, those houses across the road are sitting further back off the road. And they do, most of those houses there, I'm not quite sure, in front of our entrance, have some of the houses have some wooded buffer in there. But again, in front of our, they are sitting fairly back from the house.
You don't think that'd be an issue? Excuse me? You don't think that'd be an issue?
I don't think so, no.
All right, thank you. That's all question.
All right, sir. Thank you. All right, sir. If you'll take a seat nearby, we'll see if anyone has an interest in your application. Is there anyone here that would like to speak in favor of subdivision 2006-75 Tull Group LLC? Is there anyone here that would like to speak in opposition to subdivision 2006-75?
My name is Sam Ritz. I live on Mile Stretch Road in Greenwood. And personally, I don't have any problem with somebody building houses to make some money. But wow, this development is huge. My mother-in-law, as a fact, lives in one of the houses that Toll family built on Mile Stretch. And that house sold for $200,000. A $65,000 house is definitely going to decrease that house in value.
Sir, I think he was talking about the lot prices, not the house, not the whole package.
Okay.
He's talking lot price.
We get a figure on that.
Lot home package. I don't know. We can ask. I'll ask him.
One other thing, I don't understand all these zones and wetlands and stuff like that. I have signature 31 people on Miles Stretch that are opposed to this development. And basically what they oppose to is the end of the way of life. They moved to Miles Stretch for a reason, to get away from the city. I grew up in Philadelphia. I definitely wanted to get away from the city. And now I find the city is coming down on me. And that's what everybody in Miles Stretch feels like right now. Other issue is crime. As we bring more houses in, what's going to happen to crime and who's going to protect us? Right now, protected by Troop 9, 200 additional houses are going to mean a lot more crime rate. In the past, I haven't locked my house. I just left my house open. Now I'm going to have to lock them when I go home. Water usage, just recently, last year, some wells were going dry. And my well is a 2-inch well, 40 feet deep. 40 feet deep. What's going to happen with the water usage of this additional 200 homes? Am I going to have to put in a new well?
Part of the record. Thanks.
Pitcher, we thank you. Mr. Davidson or Mr. Tall, either Mr. Tall, would you care to address the gentleman's question about the lot home package price? If you can, you know, you may not know.
Again, based on the lot price that we're hoping to, of 50 to 60, certainly staying around, you know, somewhere in the 200,000, probably a little bit more. Again, the restrictions that are within the covenants and restrictions, the types of house, the stick-built house, the type of pitch or roof and everything else that they're proposing will certainly increase the property value.
All right, sir. Is there anyone else would like to speak in opposition? Yes, ma'am, all the way in the back in the pink.
I'm Jessica Jansen. I live on Mile Stretch Road. I want to know where the entrance is for this.
Okay, if you would, Mr. Davidson, point out where the entrance is.
It's between lots 6 and 7. There's an existing house sitting here. It's probably, I would say, 500 feet to the north of that existing house.
So it's going to be somewhere right in front of my house. And I would have a problem with the lights.
Okay.
And the traffic, because right now it's a safe road. Kids can walk and ride their bicycles. And it's community where we can leave our doors unlocked. And we can leave our keys in the car. But there will be problems with crime, I would think.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else? Yes, ma'am, step right up.
Hi, my name's Sharon Strand, and I live on Mile Stretch Road. I'd like to know if you're planning on widening that road with that amount of traffic.
You talk with me, and I'll ask them if I think they need to. Okay.
I want to know if they're going to plan
on
if they're going to plan on widening Mile Stretch Road because of the traffic.
Well, that is not up to them. That's up to DelDOT. If DelDOT tells them to widen the road, they'll be doing it, or they won't be building that development.
Well, with 200 houses, I can't see how they can leave it.
Don't disagree with you.
I'm very opposed to this.
Okay, thank you. Anyone else like to speak in opposition?
My name is John Mills. I own the property which is between this property and the town. And this is more of a, just for a matter of clarification. Is the town has not been talking to me about making the annexation and using my property to be part of the town to this point. So that may just be, I don't know if that's even cogent to the argument, but that's where we are.
Well, it's interesting because it certainly contradicts the testimony that was given. And, I'll see what I can find out about that.
They may be planning it, but they haven't told me.
Okay. Well, that may be. Mr. Davidson, do you want to maybe shed some
light on that situation? I guess if the town hasn't been talking to them, there's nothing you can do about that.
It's the Thompson property, which is located just north of our property here.
So that's not this gentleman's property?
Mr. Mills' land could be the, on the site plan I have labeled as now formerly Richfield Farms, that might be the land that he's talked. I believe his land is located.
Over there.
The land that
right.
The town is potentially looking to annex
okay.
right now.
So it's not his parcel that you're.
That is correct. It's
okay.
Not his parcel.
All right. Very good. That answers the question. So, is there anyone else like to speak in opposition? Anyone on the commission have any questions?
I do. Okay. And I realize we don't have a representative of either Artesian or Tidewater, but the first gentleman that spoke in opposition mentioned something about the wells. Is your eventual central water provider, are they able to offer central water to anyone else on Mile Stretch Road, or will their CPCN be just for Sunset Woods if it gets approved?
I believe typically what they do is they send out a wide array of notices, and if anybody would like to sign up for the CPCN.
Yeah, as I said, the CPCN's only going to cover this property.
That's correct. The CPCN will cover our property, but they will send out letters, and if anybody would also like to join in, then they provide CPCNs for those people's properties, and then they can provide water to them.
Mr. Abbott brings up a good point, too. If you start serving other properties, you get into the need for a conditional use for a regional water or wastewater provider.
I was just
curious. However, if there is substantial state law that regarding how it affects surrounding wells, though, right?
Oh, yeah, no, that is affected.
So if there is an effect, then the property owners have some recourse.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, anyone else? All right, there being none, we'll close the public hearing. We'll invite you to stay with us, see if we make a decision, or you may wish to call the office in the morning. Gentlemen, we're going to refer back.